This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode 23.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
The rise and rise of Glenn Twiddle in the real estate coaching space has taken him from the streets of Queensland's Ipswich to partying with Hollywood A-list actors and the rich and famous. As you'll hear in this session, Glenn has a near obsession with celebrity and getting celebrities in front of New Zealand and Australian agents. What I found really interesting was how he got big names like Eric Thomas, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sir Richard Branson to agree to speak at his events. And I know you'll be interested to discover some of the names on his future speaker list. In this interview, Glenn talks about how he gets motivated by speakers like Eric Thomas to get him started every day. Well, in my opinion, GT has his own brand of infectious drive and motivation that's full of cool ideas and success anchor points. Every time I speak with Glenn, I come away feeling charged and invigorated. This time was no exception. Enjoy. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm with Rebel Real Estate Coach, Glenn Twiddle. How are you going, mate?
Ray, good to chat, my man. Thanks for having me, bud.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thanks for setting aside some time. I know you're a pretty busy guy. You've got the Titans of Real Estate event coming up September 8 and 9 in Brisbane. I want to talk about that because that's huge. But before we get into it, Glenn, tell me about, because like it was only like a few years ago, you were doing smaller coaching events, and suddenly you're Eric Thomas, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sir Richard Branson. You kind of stepped up a little bit. What's going on?
Well, for years, Ray, I've looked to mentors like yourself even, but John McGrath and you know what, mainly John McGrath and Eric as mentors of mine. I've read everything you guys have done,
yep.
All of your work, but not only that, the way you guys think, like the way, yeah, everything that John McGrath's ever read, done, spoken about, I've devoured. And so John, you know, he's become a friend of mine, but he was a mentor of mine before he even knew my name. So I looked at how Eric did its work, and what I sort of did was I took it in levels. And yeah, it does look like I've become a bit of an overnight success, but that was because back when I was going from level one to level two and level two to level three and kind of going through those early levels, you're not very visible. So it all really did start back in 2012, though, when I begged John and Matt Steinwade to do an event called Heavy Artillery,
yes.
Where we spent one day, and I think you guys were there. I know, yeah. Aaron was there.
Yes.
Our mutual friend Aaron Shiner was there speaking. And so what we did is I put together an event that was relatively high profile. And, you know, at that time, it was the most successful Queensland event that had ever happened until the next year, Eric came along and was in Queensland, and that blew me out of the water. But I sort of really did just take it in levels. And when that worked out well, I thought, okay, I'll go to another one of my mentors, Eric Thomas, and I'll learn from him, and I'll see if I could get him to come down from Australia, because I was just going to go to America to see Eric Thomas speak.
Yep.
And I thought, well, that might cost me a few thousand. Why don't I see how much it'll cost to bring him here and share my mentor with some of my friends?
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And it went nicely, because I thought I was the only one down in Australia that knew of Eric Thomas, but it turns out he's got a lot of people who he has inspired. And then it was sitting with him, mate, that really all this craziness started with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Richard Branson. And I've got a list of 15 of them that are on my I'd love to do business with list. And Michael Jordan is one of them. Oprah is one of them. And Richard Branson, though, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was at the top of that list. And Richard Branson was second, because Arnold Schwarzenegger is my childhood hero.
Yep.
And Richard Branson's my adult business hero,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, but what happened was I was in a session with Eric Thomas, and Eric, words to the effect, he said, what would you do? We're going to write down some goals here. And, you know, I know that half your listeners, Ray, will be rolling their eyes going, oh, goal setting, here we go. Yeah, because they've heard it so many times from all of us. But Eric put it in a different way and he said, what would you do? What would your goal be? What would you be striving for if you weren't afraid? And then he sort of said it in another way and we wrote it down. And then he said in another session, he said, what would you do if you couldn't fail? So, and both times the thing I wrote down there was have Arnold Schwarzenegger headline an event of mine, not knowing in any way how much that would cost, whether that was even possible. I knew he did a speech that talked about his rules because I'd seen it on YouTube. So he must have done a speech somewhere. So I just wrote that down as a goal. Pie in the sky with no idea how I would make that happen. But the one thing that I think is different about me than others is I then took action, even though that little voice was in the back of my head saying, never, that ain't going to happen. The guy that you had as a poster on your wall as a teenager is not going to come and hang out with you in your business and train your friends, you know. Even though that voice was saying that, I still took action as though it was possible. So I went to a couple of different agents online and I got some quotes. And most of those agents that I found online didn't actually represent him. They just sort of use his name as lead generation bait. And then they you know, they get your offer and they take it to Arnold, you know. So it's almost like they're a complete middleman.
Yeah.
But I eventually found his people and one thing led to another. You know, no became probably not, became maybe, became well, how about this date? And after all that, you know, the rest is history, you know.
Where did you go to California to pitch him?
No, I didn't. Although okay. After the event, backstage at the event, while we were just sort of talking, having finished the event, he's sitting there talking with my son, you know, about different things. That was a dream come true to be sitting around the table just shooting the breeze with Arnold Schwarzenegger for half an hour.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, he said, you know, Glenn, if you can, next month I'm having a poker game. Just me and some friends, you know, it's not professional poker players or anything. It's just, and I quote, regular people like us.
Right.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, sir, you have got such a different idea of regular people like us than I do. But
were you pinching yourself? Was it the most surreal moment in your life ever?
Dude, he could not finish speaking the sentence before I said, I'm in.
Right.
And I didn't care when it was. I didn't care where it was. It could have been at the Antarctic Pole for all I cared. I would have been there.
Yeah.
I just said, I'm there. And it's funny. He's got a helper, a minder, really a manager that travels with him everywhere, paid for by the US government as part of the governor thing. And I looked at Daniel and said, is he serious? You know, how are we going to organize that? Can I really come? And Arnold, it's almost like Arnold got mad. He said, what are you asking him for? I'm personally inviting you. You know? So, mate, that was a dream come true to go to Arnold's house, 40 of his friends, Don Cheadle, you know, War Machine from the Avengers was there.
Wow.
The dude from Magic Mike was there, politicians, you know, it was a dream come true. Hummer in the backyard. Tank in the backyard, Hummer, elephant in the front yard, just because what else is there going to be, an elephant in the front
yard? My gosh.
It was quite surreal, but Tim Ferriss was there sipping cognac with Tim Ferriss for about an hour in Arnold's den. You know, it was a dream come true, mate. But I suppose that's the thing, mate, you know, be careful with those goals you set, you know, maybe just taking action on those goals, you just might get what you want.
Did that give you the, what's the right word? Confidence is probably the wrong word, but I can't think of the right word. Did that give you the drive or the encouragement to approach Sir Richard Branson?
Yeah, when it all worked out and when I say well, understand that, you know, if there's lessons to be learned here, Ray, I hope you guys are getting them, that there's no money to be made when you do something like this. You know, the expenses of doing something like this are extraordinarily high.
Yep.
When it worked out that I stayed solvent and I didn't, I didn't have to sell houses and things like that, that what happened was I had some people, my friends, you know, my coaching clients jokingly say, well, how are you going to top this one, smart Alec? You know, because you saw the undercard of the guys that joined Arnold and myself. There was Josh Altman from Million Dollar Listing and Matt Steinwade. Matt Steinwade actually didn't speak. He was sitting in the front row though.
Yeah.
Marcus Ciminello. It was a who's who of the best agents ever.
Yep.
And so someone came up to me and said, how are you going to top this one? There's nowhere up from Arnold Schwarzenegger. And so I wrote out this list of 15 names that I would love to follow up with for 2016.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan actually did come back to me very quickly and said, no amount of money could, no. He didn't even throw out a token, yep, I'll do it for $20 million. He didn't even do that. It was just, no. But it was Michael Jordan, Richard Branson, Oprah, and a bunch of others that were going to be my 2016 potential thing.
Yeah.
And what happened was Richard Branson came back and said, look, at this stage, we're not planning on being in Australia in 2016, but, and I quote, it would be great if we could do something in September 2015. And all that went through my head was, this is inconvenient. I've got Be Phenomenal with Eric Thomas tour in August 2015, like 2 weeks before the dates you're asking for, Sir Richard. Everything was about this idea was not ideal.
Yeah.
But all that went through my head was Richard's quote. It says, when someone presents you with an incredible opportunity and you don't know how to do it, say yes and then figure it out later.
Yeah.
So I did. And so now we're doing it. So it really was just – it wasn't just giving me the cojones to do it. It was just, look, I'm going to do something in 2016. And then when that activity resulted in something different being thrust upon me, when Richard Branson says he wants to play, you don't ask – you don't tell him which playground. You say, sure. Where do you want?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it's almost like you're a promoter. Well, you are a promoter, and every promoter takes a punt, takes a risk, because you're saying, okay, I'm gonna drag out this draw card, and this is gonna cost me in X number of ways. I've got to make it work. Unpack that for a second. How does Eric Thomas kind of mentor you into making those? Do you run these decisions by anybody else, or do you just wake up one morning and go, stuff it, I'm going to do it?
Yeah, at the moment, guys like Eric as a mentor, he's a mentor for mindset. He's a guy that that I listen to every day just so I can wake up and not let that little voice in the back of my head that used to earn 40 grand a year and grew up in Ipswich, for your readers, for your listeners, a lower socioeconomic area, kind of like a Rudy Hill or a Mount Druitt in Sydney, that our mate Aaron China would know familiar. So similar sort of area.
Yep.
And when that voice in the back of my head says you can't do it, Eric Thomas and those sort of motivational speakers are the little voice in my head saying, well, give it a go. What's the worst thing that can happen? But as far as mentorship as to what's a good idea, because the only person really who does events of this caliber in Australia is John McGrath, I do go to my headspace and say, what would John do?
Right.
And on a few occasions, it just goes also to show John's character. I've spoken to John multiple occasions on the phone where John and I have talked about expenses of how much certain speakers are, how much – it's almost like John and I, as really in some ways he doesn't see himself this way and nor do I, but we both run major seminars with headline speakers, so really we're competitors. And here we are strategizing for how to make each other's product better. Like at the time, John was talking to me about Arnold and all of that sort of stuff. And I was saying, well, John, let me plug Eric at my event so Eric can be better. And John's given me advice on whether or not, bringing out Eric Thomas for the third year in a row is a good idea. And, it really is quite incredible. So John McGrath as a guy is just the best bloke in the world. What does that say about his character, that he's willing to help a competitor make a better product?
Yeah.
So John really is my one, whether it's I actually am talking to him about it or just based on having read everything about him and feeling like I know him intimately, having listened to so many hundreds of hours of his audios, reading his books and all of that, I've sort of got John McGrath's ethos in my head. And same thing with Richard Branson as well, having read every book he's ever done and every audio program he's ever released, I kind of feel like you get these guys' attitudes embedded in your head. And I, so I really just go by that radar. And lately I've been working again, in a similar way to John. I see him as a mentor. I see him as a successful person that does what I aspire to do, and that's Max Markson, who was on The Apprentice, the Celebrity Apprentice in Australia.
Yep.
A very famous, but not a real estate version of what I do. He's a guy that what I do in other industries. You know, he's a promoter in to the general public. You know, so he's brought out Donald Trump and some other folks before, I believe, and he brought out Arnold Schwarzenegger last time. And so, yeah, I have him on speed dial, and whenever I see Max Markson's phone number ringing me, I'm still pinching myself saying, how do these guys are now calling me? This is incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's not really much of I suppose there's no one person that I call up and go, John, you know, should I do this one or not? Because there's so few people that are qualified to advise. There's something that real estate agents should definitely take that lesson. If you're getting advice from the person in the cubicle next to you who's earning less than you or only the same as you, and they're advising you on what's a good marketing strategy or not, well, you want to consider that advice very carefully.
Isn't it incredible, Glenn? Isn't it? Let me just jump in for one sec, because that's an interesting point. It's one of my pet hates, I guess, but isn't it it's incredible how many people in real estate take advice from those that are doing so much worse than them. It just fascinates me, and it happens all the time.
Yeah, my ethos is unless someone's earning 2 to 3 times your income, they're not qualified to advise you. Now, of course, listen and be respectful and be courteous and whatever, but the advice of John McGrath, who gets 2, 3, 4 times the amount of people at his seminars than I get at mine, John is qualified to advise me, and I will do anything he tells me to do.
Sure.
Period.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just summarizing on that, what I find interesting as far as Glenn Twiddle's concerned is that you actually do it where most, like, you know, a lot of people listen to Eric Thomas, a lot of people listen to Jim Rohn or John McGrath or Sir Richard Branson or Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the advice is stellar. But, mate, you've actually pulled the trigger. You actually did it, and I think there's only a small percentage of people that actually say, okay, you know, stuff it, I'm going to have a go, I'm going to have a red hot go, and I'm going to actually do it. So I take my hat off to you. I think it's an awesome effort. Let's talk about Titans. You're coming up September 8 and 9 in Brisbane. I'm interested in the celebrity tie-up, I guess, with Eric and Richard Branson and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's a Hollywood A-list actor. I mean, you and I were talking before I press record, and he's probably up there with the most famous names or brands in the world. And you made a nice tie-in between that celebrity and the celebrity of a real estate success story. Just talk to me about that.
Well, what I think, it's a shame that it is true, but that doesn't mean it's not true. It's very true that we're a celebrity-centric society.
Yes.
That we sit there, and some people are just celebrities just for the fact of being celebrities. More and more so, what Andy Warhol said is coming true. These Kardashians and Paris Hiltons and all of that, that really don't do anything except be celebrities. And so the advent of celebrity in our, it's nothing new, but it's certainly something that's almost unavoidable. You know, it's like, when I first brought out Eric Thomas, no one ever, and you would see this, Ray, no one ever wants to sit in the front row when you and I are doing a seminar or a coaching. No one ever wants the front row. But yet when you bring out Eric Thomas or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sir Richard Branson, people pay 10 times the amount of the ticket just to be in the front row.
To be up front, yep.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting phenomena that as soon as you're deemed to be famous, you get everyone's attention. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. So, I mean, Oprah's got haters. I can't believe that. One of the most genuine, nice people in the world has got people who bag her out. But, you know, so celebrity is an interesting thing that you could take a relatively ordinary commodity like a grill. I see. That's how good that marketing is. I was about to say
the George Foreman.
My head wanted to say grill, and my mouth said George Foreman grill.
Right.
See, you can get a grill anywhere, Ray, can't you? I mean, we can all go down to Kmart and get a grill. But you slap George Foreman's name on it. A declining, you know, he's in his retirement years. He's no longer a heavyweight champion boxer, but he was. And you slap a celebrity's name on that commodity, and next thing you know, that commodity is a $1 billion business, to the point where if you say grill, we all think George Foreman.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting story. I was watching an interview with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and George Foreman have the same manager, same management representation. And Hulk Hogan was pitched for that grill as well. And Hulk Hogan couldn't make the meeting that they wanted the day they wanted it. He had to pick up his kid from school. And that they were actually favoring, so the story goes, they were favoring Hulk Hogan for that to be the Hulk Hogan grill. And Hulk reckons that picking up of that of his kid that day was probably the most expensive child pickup in the history of child pickups. Because, you know, but it is interesting that, you know, pimple cream, slap a celebrity on that and you have that, whatever it is, Proactive Pro-V.
Yeah.
You know, the advent and addition of celebrities to relatively mundane products is fascinating. That you know, because what really has George Foreman got to do with a grill or Hulk Hogan? See, the fact is, it doesn't matter which celebrity, because they were willing to take Hulk Hogan or George Foreman. It's just the fact that these guys have a brand that the public will take notice of, really, no matter what. So our job, of course, is to take that principle and either make ourselves or the people that we're working with famous. So certainly with guys like Chris Gilmore, with Tom Carlin, with those superstar real estate agents that I've got as kind of the support show for Richard Branson, those guys weren't known before I came along. And I really, you know, of course, with their cooperation, they helped me do it. But I, as a promoter, you used the word before, it's kind of like another one of my mentors, I've read all his books, is Vince McMahon from the WWF.
Yep.
He's the behind-the-scenes guy that makes Hulk Hogan famous. So similarly, I'm the behind-the-scenes guy that makes Chris Gilmore famous, that makes Tom Carlin famous. And then what I do is, once I've made them famous, I then sell them back to the marketplace.
Yep.
You know, now, and I'm sitting here, Ray, with a list of your listeners that are the very, I'm telling you guys how I sell something to you,
yeah,
you know, to the listeners. So there's no, I peel back the curtain and say, I make these guys famous because you as an audience, and I'm talking to the real estate public here, you as an audience don't want to come to see a name that you don't know. So I've got to make you know those names. Or I've got to put on an event like this one coming up with Richard Branson headlining that has such an attractive headliner that John McGrath says he'll be in, Matt Steinwaite says he'll be in, the numbers 1, 2, and 3 real estate agents in the country in James Tostevin, Alexander Phillips, and Marcus Cimonello, that they are all there, not because Glenn Twiddle asked. Look, Glenn Twiddle's a good beggar, Ray, but he's not that good.
Oh, you mate, know, I think I think you underrate yourself a little bit. I'm gonna jump in there because my BS meter's just gone crazy. You are very dynamic at pitching a point, and you are very persuasive. I'll give you that. I mean, hey, that's what you do. That's what we all do. But you do it in a very good way, I think, because I really like the energy. I like the way that you build it up and deliver it. And let's just run through. So you just mentioned a few of the names that is coming up, guys coming up for the event. Marcus Cimonello, who I was actually listening to John McGrath and to Tom Panos's podcast, and I think they mentioned that Marcus is having like an 800K month or 5 weeks or something like that. So the guy just seems to be going from strength to strength. That's a phenomenal effort. James Tostevin, of course, has been number one many times in Australia. John McGrath, Matt Steinwaite, Alexander Phillips, Adrian Bowe from Sydney, Adelaide's Phil Harris. And then you've got, I'll just run through the names, Michael Spillane, Tom Carlin, you mentioned. Tom Panos is there. Aaron Sansoni's there. Deborah Evans, Maria and Manos. Tell me about those guys.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're running a company down in Melbourne called eView. I've done some work with them over the last couple of years. They're just great. They really do get this new age of real estate professional that I believe we've seen the tip of the iceberg. We've seen the changing of the market, but I don't think we've seen it all yet. And they really get that, you know, they're running a brand that understands that it's what John McGrath said many years ago, that the brand at the top of the sign is infinitely less important. And now the top of the sign being, in his case, McGrath, in other cases, Ray White, LJ Hooker, Harcourts, or whatever, the brand at the top of the sign is infinitely less important than the brand at the bottom of the sign, being you, being us, being the real estate agent. And certainly Maria and Manos Vindakakis from eView are epitomizing that by allowing the eView brand to be secondary to the agent's personal brand, you know, the agent allowing them to not only tolerate them having a personal brand, because many of the big brands do tolerate it to one degree or another. They'll let you have a personal brand. Some won't even let you have it, that it must be all about the corporate brand. But some will allow you to have a personal brand to one degree or another. These guys are putting that at the forefront. They're saying, you've got to do this. It's the way we need to go, because any real estate agency, and it doesn't matter what one, no matter how good they are seen by the public as, well, let's just say less than trustworthy.
Okay.
You know, we don't have the best reputation of any vocation in the world. But, and really nothing we do, even John McGrath's brand, as good as it is, and I idolize it. I idolize him, and I have it on a pedestal that his brand is as good, if not better, than any in the world. You know, he's up there with the Foxtons, with the Keller Williams. He's fantastic. So, but even that brand is still seen by the public as a real estate agency.
Yep.
But Matt Steinwade, as a brand within a brand, can be a trusted celebrity advisor that people call in. They do what he recommends. They pay him the fee he wants. And they do it on his terms because he's famous within his area as a person. It's almost like they'll never like real estate agents. And if around the barbecue on a Saturday, there's a subject about real estate agencies going on, and that at that barbecue, that's never really a positive one. What we want is our client to say, yeah, I know they're all idiots, but my guy, Chris Gilmore, is just a genius or, you know, whatever. That's what we want to happen. That can't really happen. No one will ever say, yeah, I know they're all idiots, but my guy at Harcourts.
Yeah.
Oh, Harcourts are just the great. That'll never happen.
No.
But they will say, my guy, a person. They will stand up and defend a person. But they'll never stand up and defend a brand. So
John McGrath talks about that, though, Glenn, as well. He talks about the power of the personal brand, and I've heard John talking about the actual character and the energy around the individual. It's not because a lot of people think we're talking about their colours and the font they might use to spell their name. We're talking about the whole energy and character around the actual individual, not so much the actual name.
Absolutely. And that's what I was talking about before when John says the brand at the top of the sign is less important than the brand at the bottom of the sign, meaning that's what encapsulates his fantastic book, You Inc., that it is all about
great book.
You as a personal brand. And it absolutely is. It was on his other book, You Don't Have to Be Born Brilliant. I love that title because, frankly, I'm not the sharpest cookie in the shed. Well, I was about to say the sharpest cookie in the shed, Ray, and that's proof that you don't have to be born brilliant.
You idiot. Righto. Tell us a couple more questions and I'll let you go. Tell us what we can expect to hear from Sir Richard Branson. Have you had the opportunity to brief him? Does he want to know, or is he going to come there and do his regular routine? What's going on with that?
Yeah, no, I'm really stoked that he's been so interactive with what the content is going to be.
Cool.
It's been awesome. So really the question he's going to be answering is not that there was actually and I think it was a publicity stunt by a speaker who put out a fake press release, and Virgin actually weren't too impressed with that. But I need to make sure they didn't think it was me, because that sort of stunt mentality is the sort of thing I'd do. But someone put out a press release saying that Virgin Property was going to enter the market, Virgin Real Estate.
Yes.
Probably because they got wind. Well, potentially, I don't even know if it was a coincidence or they got wind that I was doing this with Sir Richard. But that's the question he's going to be his overall talk is going to be. It's going to be on disruption, because look at the industries that man has disrupted. You know, he took airlines that people were relatively unimpressed with, but were forced to tolerate because they were the only option. And he thrust in a customer service centric, fun model, fun brand. And look at what Virgin Airlines worldwide has become. Mm-hmm. He took, the mobile phone industry. The people were confused by contracts and didn't particularly like it or whatever. So he has a history of taking industries that the consumers put up with but don't necessarily like. Does that sound familiar to anyone mm-hmm. listening? And giving them another model. So really the question is, if Virgin Property was to do it, and please, big disclaimer, it's not, right? There are no plans, but that's the question that he's going to be answering, is if the world's greatest entrepreneurial mind and notorious disruptor of industries were to play in ours, A, what would that look like? What's his thoughts on how the customers would be served? And question B, how would we as an audience compete with that hypothetical entity? So I tell you, I am on the edge of my seat wanting to hear, because I firmly, firmly believe that if he did it, he would decimate us. Because I know how good and bad, as do you, Ray. You and I, as coaches to this industry, we know how good this industry really is at customer service.
Of course.
Now, I know that we think we're really good and we think all that, but you and I, we've studied it at the coalface. We know how good or otherwise we really are. And make no mistake, in my opinion, if Richard Branson came in and could get staff to follow Richard Branson's ethos, what he calls the Virgin Way, they would grab a 30% market share within a couple of years, in my opinion.
Yep.
So yep. I'm loving going to hear what would that look like, because why wait for Richard Branson to come in and decimate us?
Yep.
Why can't any one of us do it?
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Final question that I've got. Where is real estate heading? What does the future of real estate look like? We've talked about celebrities and branding, but what's your interpretation? You're up close and personal with all of this. What does it look like?
It's hard to say, mate. I hope it doesn't happen, but I get a feeling, and it's only a feeling, but I feel like we're the taxi industry, that we're sitting there thinking, no, no, that could never happen to us. This will always be an industry that is needed by the consumers. And I think there is not one task we do, not one, that you couldn't pay someone $30 to $50 an hour to achieve. You know, you've trained some great negotiators, Ray, as have I. Even the negotiating of a contract, you could pay a hired gun $100,000 a year, train them what we've trained others, and we could train anyone. So if they really want to be trained and want to be learned. So my scared thought is that an Uber-esque disruption will come along and do what we currently do. Because I've described our industry for many years as like RSVP.
Yep.
We take buyers on one list and sellers on another list, and we put them together like a matchmaking service. My fear is that some other digital technology or something can do to what Uber did to the taxi industry, what Airbnb has done to the hotel industry, what Alibaba has done to the wholesaling, product industry.
Yes.
You know, for us to think that we're above that is naive, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But what I do know is that in the medium term, or even the short medium, I really hope in the long term, I hope that what's definite is the first and most affected by such a disruption, the first and most affected will be those agents that are seen as a commodity. Those agents that if they call one agent and they go to Message Bank, they don't really care, they call the next agent. Like if you're going to your general practitioner and he's not there or he's booked and you're sick, you just go to the next general practitioner.
Yeah.
So they'll be the first and most affected whenever anything changes in whatever format that might be. The next to be affected will be the specialists. Right? So that we'll get rid of the generalists where there's 12 real estate agents, all completely indistinguishable from each other in one strip of shops. There's 12 agencies. Each of those agencies has five agents, and the punters out there don't know the difference.
Sure.
They'll be gone. The next ones that'll be affected a little bit will be the specialists, the ones like a Jason Adcock or a Deborah Evans, you know, those guys who've specialized, and by specializing, becoming the area specialist. In Jason Adcock's realm, he's become a prestige specialist. Those guys who have got a database of people who know that they are the specialist, they'll be less affected than the generalists. So, you know, for example, it's like in the medical industry we just talked about. If that GP refers you to a cancer specialist or whatever, and that cancer specialist isn't there, you wait a week or two for him to get back from holidays, you know?
Sure.
And of course, a specialist gets paid more.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere they get paid more. But the least and last affected by any kind of disruption or change or whatever will be the people who are celebrity versions of those specialists. So someone like a John McGrath. John is a celebrity specialist because he's got certain elements that he's put in place that make him famous to the community. And John McGrath would get, if he went to a listing presentation with a mum and a dad seller that have seen him on episodes and seasons of The Block, mentoring people to hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital growth in property. They've seen him on Shark Tank, where he's been mentoring business owners and entrepreneurs in helping them with their businesses and in some cases investing his money in their businesses. So they've seen him on TV. They've read his books. They've seen him in the media. If he walked into a listing presentation, he's going to get a different set of objections than those generalists, isn't he, mate? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my opinion is, Ray, I don't know what's coming, and I hope nothing's coming. Because frankly, Ray, I don't want to have to take my skill sets and do it to another industry.
Find something else.
But could I? Absolutely. I could do what I've done with real estate agents to any industry I choose. So I'm okay because I've got an enduring skill set that is completely transferable into industry. And that's what happens with the celebrity specialists. If you're the rock star real estate agent like a John McGrath is, John McGrath went from being the real estate expert to Shark Tank, general business entrepreneurial expert. When you get that celebrity status, when you become famous, and there are very specific tools that, in fact, that'll be the subject of my talk at the Titans of Real Estate, is what elements make up someone famous and how do we do that for ourselves? And I even mentioned one or two of them just then. The things John McGrath has, we've reverse engineered what makes up an Arnold Schwarzenegger, what makes up a Richard Branson, a John McGrath, what makes up a Dr. Phil. You know, we were talking about the medical industry before. If a GP gets $50 or $60 for their appointment, a specialist gets $200 to $500, what does Dr. Phil get?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He gets $10,000 for an appointment.
Yeah.
You know, probably more. Why? It's not that he's a better psychoanalyst than the specialists. It's that he's the celebrity version of what he does. So that's one of the big I believe that I don't know what's coming, Ray. I'm wary about Uber, Airbnb, and all of those kind of digital matchmaking services and all of that stuff. None of them have there's no radar that's saying, uh-oh, that one's coming and there's trouble afoot. So there's nothing there yet. But in order to prepare to be the last and least affected if anything ever does happen, my advice to you guys is in your area, get to be a household rock star celebrity name, personal brand, and then no matter what happens, you'll be the least and last affected, and you'll almost future-proof yourself from any Uber-esque attack that comes from outside or inside the industry.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, well, look, who knows? Let's hope that doesn't happen. But these, you know, the hotel industry and the taxi industry that you mentioned, they didn't see it coming, and it has just done untold amounts of damage to those industries. So time will tell, I guess. But your point, I think, is valid. To insure against that, become the celebrity agent in your area. And the best way to do that, guys, is to get along to the Titans of Real Estate. And I'm going to put all, a fair bit of this information in the show notes, Glenn. So I'll set this up so you'll be able to circulate it. I'll put the link to the where you can book your tickets, and you simply go to titansofrealestate.com.au, and all of the information is there. You can check out all of the speakers. Brisbane, where's the venue in Brisbane?
It's at the Royal International Convention Centre, same one we had Arnold.
Okay. Yep.
And I did have a few people at the last one go over to the convention centre at South Bank. So it's for Brisbaneites, guys, it's at the Ecker. Right?
Okay.
It's at the Ecker.
At the Ecker. Okay. September 8 and 9, get your tickets from titansofrealestate.com.au. Glenn Twiddle, it's been a blast. Thank you, mate, and good luck.
Ditto, Ray. Thanks, mate. An honour to be chatting with you, bud, because I've been studying your stuff again for the better part of 10 years, mate, so I appreciate the chat.
You're welcome, mate. I'm sure it's going to be a great event, so good luck with everything, and I'm looking forward to talking to you soon and seeing who you're going to bring out next.
Me too, mate. See you, mate.
See you, mate. Bye.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.